It only took him till he left WWE to do it. Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, has now got his first five-star match. We're going to talk about the classic that was Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega in just a second. So stay tuned. This is the Elite Maniac Podcast. What's up, people? Welcome to the Elite Maniac Podcast, where we discuss all things AEW. My name is Mex, aka WrestleManiac UK. I'm alongside my co-host Mike, aka Kings Road Wrestling. We have a really good show for you today. Obviously, this past week, AEW Grand Slam week on Dynamite, on Rampage. So we're going to talk about, you know, as we do on this Sunday show, the five best things we really enjoyed this past week. But before we do all of that, please remember to smash the like button, subscribe to the channel as well. And for all of our audio listeners, please make sure you subscribe and follow us on your podcast platform of choice.
Yes,
leave
please.
Us a five-star review. Let the people know about the good work myself and Mike are doing right here at the Elite Maniac Podcast. And share the link as well to the podcast. If you can do so as well, we'll appreciate it a lot. Mike, how have you been this past week?
It's too much this week, man. I went to two live shows in New Jersey, and it was fun. But so I went to Get Lost a Lot in New York to see Suzuki. I met Suzuki. I know you shared the photo of it. It was freaking unbelievable, really. Just unreal. And I met Taiji Ishimori. I saw him too, obviously, at the Bullet Club. Just what an amazing show in Queens. However, I made a wrong turn coming out of the venue and ended up with my big pickup truck in Midtown Manhattan, completely lost. I had no idea where I was going. The GPS wasn't working, and I just didn't know where I was going. So I got home at like 3 a.m. And I woke up the next morning, like went to the gym, and then there was a barbed wire steel cage match being advertised at a local show. I said, I got to go. So I went to both, and I missed Rampage. I'm so sorry, everybody. I got to catch up with it tonight. But I'm happy to be here with you, relaxing finally after a long weekend. How about yourself?
Yeah, it has been very, very hectic for me as well this past week.
You seem a little stressed.
There's a lot of recording different things, and I don't know where it's come from. If I'm sounding a bit nasally today, I've got a bit of a flu. It's not COVID or anything, so no one needs to worry. It's just a regular flu. I think I've spent a bit too much time outside this weekend. But other than that, just been filming. I've been filming earlier today, so for content for my channel. And then now my team, Arsenal, we're playing our rivals, Tottenham. We're winning 3-0.
And so, when the Spurs go marching in.
Get the Spurs. Spurs are losing 3-0. So it's all about Arsenal today. So I'm happy about that. And of course, we're doing our show. But we come in to talk about Grand Slam. And I just think the overall week, I mean, a lot of people have said, you know, AEW maybe need a couple more pay-per-views, not loads like WWE, but maybe, you know, need to up it to about 6 pay-per-views per year, which I can understand. But at the same time, when you have like TV events, TV specials like this, I know the difference is pay-per-views is the money, the buy rates and everything like that, but it's felt like a bloody pay-per-view this week. What did you think?
For sure.
NK says the same.
Yeah, I agree with NK. And what's up, Arpit? Good to see you. But dude, turning that on, it just felt extremely like special. I know everyone was talking about how like special it was going to be. Like Kingston was hyping up, and it really was. Like for all intents and purposes, was a pay per view. We had and we'll get into it, an opening match with like one commercial break, and it went 30 minutes. I mean, that is longer than most pay per view matches. So I think when you have that, you got Fight for the Fallen, Fighter Fest, Road Rager, like I'm fine with it. And it justifies, in my opinion, the $49 price tag that we pay in the United States for cable pay-per-views, which is not cheap. That's a lot of money. And if you're going to do that every month, like WWE does, people are not going to do that. So, you know, they don't have a streaming service. So I think it's fine the way it is. That's not really one of my gripes with the company.
Yeah, I think because of the TV specials in between, I don't need any other pay-per-views added per se to the calendar.
What are they doing today? I wanted to ask you.
Pardon?
What's the pay-per-view today?
Extreme Rules, WWE.
I just got to say, like, AEW had a death match on their card, and they just called it Dynamite.
Yeah.
What are they doing to justify it being called Extreme Rules? Like, what's going on over there? Like, is there a hardcore match? Or
until last week, they had, I think, 7 or 8 matches on the card, and nothing was extreme.
That's
not
so
one of them. They were all singles matches. Now I think they've made the main event, which is Roman Reigns and Finn Balor. For the Universal Championship, they've made it an Extreme Rules match, which is basically a no DQ match. That's the only extreme match on the pay-per-view. I'm pretty sure they will probably make one of these matches, like something will happen on a pre-show tonight, or WWE.com will announce, oh, all of a sudden this is a tables match. You see what I mean? Other than that, there is nothing extreme about this paper.
Yeah, probably like a chair or shot or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about
extreme
WWE.
Rule.
let's talk about, you know, AEW Grand Slam, Dynamite Grand Slam, Rampage.
Let's get
straight into it. What would you say was one of the 5 highlights from the show this week?
I got some great ones from the show, and let's get right into it, because I think everybody wants to talk about this. Everyone wants to hear our thoughts on number one, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon's re-debut to the American wrestling scene after 10 years, right? Or 6 years. What was it?
That he's been in WWE.
Yeah, 10 years probably, I think.
Yeah, probably about 10 years or so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Versus the AEW World Champion, the Cleaner, Kenny Omega. And at Arthur Ashe Stadium in a sold-out 20,000-person arena in New York City. Unbelievable. I mean, the minute that this show started and they panned around to the fans, it was just like, this match is going to be so good. And there was so much pressure on both of these guys. Like, let's acknowledge that. Like, yeah. Bryan was talking about this match on ESPN. He was doing a thing, and he said that, you know, there's so much pressure. It was the biggest match of his career, and that being so because this could really change the course of AEW and put it on an upward trajectory. If, you know, WrestleMania, when he main evented it, while it was really, really big, if it was a miss, people were still going to, you know, tune in, and it wasn't really going to do anything negative or positive for the company. It'd be ultimately the same. But this, I think, really would have done something for AEW if it was a Grand Slam. And let's get your thoughts on the match. Was it a Grand Slam? Did they miss? What was this?
This was, to me, an absolutely terrific wrestling match. I could tell they were visibly holding some stuff back.
Really?
Which did annoy me a bit. These guys have a lot more to give. 100%. Like, they didn't get out of gear 2, maybe. Like, they have 4 other gears that they could literally go down. It almost came too easy for them to just put on a complete clinic.
A clinic. Yeah,
they this put on a clinic without trying.
5 stars. And I agree with you. We didn't see a one-wing angel. We didn't see Bryan's. I keep calling him Bryan. I'm sorry about
it. Okay.
Bryan Danielson. Okay, that's his name.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about. We didn't see his finisher, the running kick.
Running knee.
So that was completely held back. We also
saw a yes lock, but after the bell.
Yeah, cattle mutilation. But no one wing angel. Not really that many V triggers. There were a few. But they were just like really just wrestling for like 28 minutes until it got down to the final 2 minutes. So yeah, I would agree. This is gear 2, and the The fact that you said it's Gear 2 just blows my mind, right?
And this is, and that's like I said, that's maybe one little inkling, the thing that made me kind of angry was just like, there's so much more to give. And I know these guys are holding back some stuff for maybe an actual match that means something for a championship maybe one day. But yeah, it's like they didn't get out of Gear 2. Yes, we didn't get a winner. And I think we all knew we probably weren't going to get a winner. We knew it would be a time limit draw. But I think that is one thing for me that, you know, it's still a 5-star performance from both guys, right? But I think it's hard to really rate a match like this without a result. Some would argue, again, the result was a draw. But without a winner, I just feel like it's a bit, how can we give this match a 5-star? I'm not saying we should have given it anything less. I'm just thinking maybe it shouldn't have had a rating at all. You see what I mean? Like, I just feel like, how does something without an outcome have a score?
This was just so good. Like, I didn't even care at that point who won. That's how crazy this is. Do kind of care, but like, I didn't at the same time. Like,
Your favorite of who you'd want to win.
Exactly.
Like, then you don't care if the other guy wins. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, like, I don't even know, like, going forward, what's going to happen, because they're obviously setting up for a title match, like you said. And I mean, like, if Brian got the belt, it's fine with me. I mean, look at what he did. I mean, who could you really say is better than that guy? Really? Like, I know Hangman Page and the whole storyline and everybody loves it, but he's, as Brian would say, he's not on his level. There's no chance he's on his level. Absolutely not, bro. Like, come on.
Brian Danielson is different gravy.
He hits different.
He's cut from a different cloth, honestly. Yeah. Like, and like I said, I don't think them lot have a lot more to give. This match was fantastic, and we didn't even get a winner.
No,
like, man. they could have, you know, which maybe we will get a 60-minute, you know, match somewhere down the line, and a winner maybe. Like, it was absolutely phenomenal, and a lot of people have commented on this, and I agree with the sentiment that, you know, it wasn't the typical kind of, okay, well, time's running out, let me do a final move, and then you're counting the pin, and then the time runs out. It was literally when the time ran out, they were still absolutely kicking and punching and beating the shit out of each other. Like,
maybe kicking into the next gear, and that's what we would have seen if we had a little bit more time. This honestly felt like a G1 match.
Yeah, it did. It very much did. Yeah. And this is the Kenny Omega a lot of people that have come from watching him in New Japan have wanted to see.
For sure.
Last week when he had the serious side of the promo, it started off a bit goofy, but then he got serious after Daniel Bryan made his Bryan Danielson made his challenge. And then into this whole match, Kenny Omega selling it was supreme. You know, when the shouts and the yes chants were going before the match even started, it's Kenny Omega. I think they zoomed in the camera into Kenny Omega's face, and Kenny Omega was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about all this fanfare around you. Like, I really don't care about it. And when I was watching that beginning segment as well, you know what I thought of? Rock versus Hogan.
Yeah, because of the crowd as well.
These guys haven't touched each other, and the crowd are going ballistic.
If
we are being completely honest with ourselves, there may be other comparisons, and if you guys have other comparisons, please put them in the chat. This is kind of this generation's Rock and Hogan.
Yeah, and people are so like quick to get angry at that. And we're not saying that as a disrespect to Rock and Hogan. We both understand, and I agree with you with that. We both understand how good that was.
Yeah.
But that's in the past, and it's time to move forward. And this exactly was that. This, I think, as well, and I think that this deserves a talking point, I think this solidified Omega as the best wrestler in the United States or PWI. Like, people were kind of like this was that. And we've been friends for over a year now, and you've always heard me talking about since Kenny got the belt that I really just want to see that classic. So, you know, that classic 5-star match with him as champion. So people understand what he's all about. And I feel like people completely understand that now. And I'm very, very happy with that. He came out again to a 20,000 person arena, really, to people really, really cheering his name. Like, he was pretty over, even though he's a heel. and he put on a great performance, and the crowd was absolutely loving it. And then they had, you know, over a million people at home watching it, and it was trending number one worldwide. So the eyes were on Omega during this match, and he killed it during that performance. So people that were kind of like, this guy wrestles dolls, this guy was in DDT, he's a joke, he's a cartoon character, I don't get it. I feel like that argument is nil now, niche. It's out of the picture. Look how good he did with probably the best technical wrestler ever, in my opinion.
I was ready. I was telling people, watch this match. You're about to see the best wrestler in the world, in Kenny Omega, go to work. You're going to see work. That. And he did. He did go to work. But because Bryan Danielson has very much still got it, I left that watching that match thinking, is Bryan Danielson the best wrestler in the world, or is it Kenny Omega? Like, because they're both of them, it was just absolutely brilliant. And again, my comparison to the Rock and Hogan thing comes from, you know, obviously Rock and Hogan are very much sports entertainers. They're very much, you know, both kind of kings of that era of show business, that the show business side of wrestling. Whereas Bryan and Omega are kind of kings of the purest style of wrestling.
Yeah, and the purists are upset at them, which is insane, right?
Literally, that's why I say it's literally like there couldn't have been another match of this height of people that have their big names, but they're still the purists. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and there's people out there like Victor in the comments. He just said that like Zack Sabre Jr. called out Bryan, but Zack Sabre Jr. is no Kenny Omega. And while that would be a great technical performance, he's not Omega, and he's not this aura. You know what I mean? He's not at his level.
He's not the star power of Omega. So yeah, even though this was very much is a big platform, big match, these guys, they are. You know, I don't want to say Zack Sabre Jr. is a nobody.
No,
but
no.
Compared to Omega and Bryan Danielson, he's a nobody. You see what I mean?
He's not to the American audience. He's pretty low on the totem pole.
Yeah, exactly.
No disrespect to ZSJ.
It was fantastic. I mean, just look at some of the other comments that the guys are putting in. Arpit says they were holding back and still put on a match of the year category. They are so good. NK said, this is probably the best TV match I've seen all year. Might be the best Dynamite match I've seen.
For sure.
They definitely have way more to give. The match did its job. It made us want more next time. And NK goes on to say, I think they will do an Iron Man match or 2 out of 3 Falls match at Full Gear where Omega wins. Omega versus Page at Revolution. The finish was perfect in my opinion. It built a second match without a promo, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Arpit says that was Kenny's best match since he faced Tanahashi in 2019. It had so many things to offer, and the 30 minutes flew by. Really,
that's a great point. Arpit
was so good. It's true.
Didn't this feel just like that, man?
Listen, we're enjoying the match so much. All we heard was what's his face, Jason Roberts, just say 1 minute remaining, and I was
what? And then there were like 30 seconds, and I was like, I could watch these guys for hours, man. Really, I could watch them go for freaking hours.
Yeah, NK says Omega hasn't wrestled an opponent of Danielson's caliber probably since his New Japan days in Okada. Yeah, these were two of the all-time greats doing great work, 100%. And Jonesy Chats Wrestling says, who will finally beat Kenny? Well, I guess it's still the rumored Adam Page. That is still the story they are telling. But
yeah, bro. But come on, let me say something, bro. Mm-hmm. Bro, I'm Russo right now, bro. as Uncle Dave Meltzer always says, like, you know, there are plans in place, but if something comes along and it's really getting a hot reception with the crowd, you got to kind of go with that. And look what they put on, dude. Like, can you really justify putting the belt over Hangman when there's somebody like this? Can that be justified?
So what you're telling me is Bryan Danielson's about to do the whole WrestleMania 30 thing all over again, get the crowd behind him and take the belt off Kenny Omega.
Dude, I think like he is believably the only one that could beat that guy. Believably.
I 100% hear what you're saying. I 100% hear what you're saying. I think they've invested so much in the Adam Page stuff,
I know,
that it will be Page. And I know Paige's time seems that it got kind of pushed back a bit because of the whole CM Punk arrival. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he had his kid, or he's expecting a kid.
Yeah.
So
it's no fault of his own.
No fault of his own. But you're right. Right now, from what the evidence shows, Bryan Danielson is the only one that can make Kenny Omega sweat. Mm-hmm. He's the only person. That's, Victor just said something here, which I want to talk on. He says Ibushi is the one to take the belt from Omega. Now, what I still love about this story, even though it's not Adam Page that's across the ring from Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega is still showing these insecurities, if you want to call it that. Hence why, obviously, he's got Don Callis in his corner. He's the greatest of all time. He's, you know, like Gotch and Ric Flair and all these people, all the stuff that Don Callis spills out. And even during the match, what did we see? We saw a Phoenix Splash. Kota Ibushi's mm-hmm. finishing move.
Yeah, okay. But Ibushi just lost to Yujiro Takahashi in the G1.
I don't think Ibushi's coming in. I'm not going down that road. I think I still love the fact of, obviously, Ibushi is like one of the only people in the last how many years to get a victory over Kenny. Omega.
And kick out of the one-wing angel. And
kick out of the one-wing angel.
They still have that ace up their sleeve. And that's a good point from Victor. Like, if they ever wanted to do that with that, there's a storyline that's already paved.
They said Phoenix. They said, obviously, he ain't hit the Phoenix Splash. He ain't attempted that move since the Moxley match, which was nearly 2 years ago. When he done it then as well, he didn't hit it. He missed it.
Okay, so he hasn't. And that's
so he's went for it twice in 2 years and never hit it. And I think this is still kind of playing into the whole insecurities of Kota Ibushi and, you know, that side of this entire big story. It's absolutely fantastic what these guys are doing. I just don't know now where we go with Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, because like you said, right now, on paper, he is the only guy that can believably beat Kenny Omega.
100%. And I thought... another point to bring up, and you know, sorry we're talking about this so much, but it deserves the praise, it deserves the mm-hmm. conversation. I thought that, you know, when in WWE, I like Daniel Bryan, but some of the guys that they paired him up with, like, it just seemed like weird. Like, I remember when
paired him up with, you mean like opponents or what?
Opponents. I remember him like putting the yes lock on Batista, and I was like, Batista's just like too freaking big. Like, it just looks weird. Like, it didn't look believable that like Batista submitted to that. And but like, I think this was like a perfect pairing. Like, it was like a guy of like similar stature. Like, it was like not like a monster steroid freak. And I think that AEW has a lot of people on their roster that are comparable size. I think that's key, man. I think that like really adds to the whole believability of this thing. So like, I can't wait to see who he continues to face, but I want to see him continue with his Omega thing, obviously. And I don't know, what were some of your highlights of the match, if you can recall? I'll give you mine. Freaking running V trigger from the entrance ramp that Kenny did was dirty. And then they had a snapdragon on the entrance ramp that was crazy. And then Brian did like a tope that was ridiculous, and he was like putting in the cattle mutilation. That was money. So
yeah, that was great to see as well. I think the beginning sequence, and I'm probably still watching some of this with my WWE sports entertainment hat on, you know, they start the match and nothing happens for a good, you know, 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. And the crowd are just absolutely killing themselves. They are in the rings, you know, milking it. It's those moments in wrestling that does it for me. It's just like, wow, we've actually got something super special here. Daniel Bryan, going back to his Ring of Honor days and telling the referee he's got till 5, you know, to release the counts and stuff like that, I thought was brilliant. He's done that before in WWE, and not a lot of fans have got it. They don't know it because they just know him from WWE. So it was good to see the New York crowd react when he did that, because it obviously shows they know his history before mm-hmm. WWE. And yeah, like I say, the way it finished as well, like, it was just literally they were just beating into each other when the bell went. And then obviously the Super Elite came down to to break it up and give him a hand.
There's two comments that there's exactly the same. So Arpit mentioned that Heyman is taking the belt away. Brian himself doesn't want the belt. And NK said, I don't think Brian even wants the belt. I disagree with that. I don't think Punk wants the belt. I think he wants to help the young talent. From what everything Danielson has said, he wants to kick everybody's head in. He wants to wrestle. And I think he wants the belt. Like, I don't think those are comparable. Like, what do you think?
I think it's one of them things where everyone's got an ego in it, and some people's egos will be bigger than others. Like, for sure, CM Punk's ego is probably bigger than Bryan Danielson's. However, obviously, like you just said, CM Punk has said he wants to help the younger guys, and Bryan has said he wants to kick their heads off. Ultimately, these two both know what's best for this business. If they have to, you know, carry the title for a certain stint, even if it's, you know, 5 months or something shorter, just to, you know, elevate. Put it on somebody else, elevate the title to put it on someone else, they will do that because they know what's best for business.
Exactly, bro.
But yeah, I think neither of them would want the title. But, you know, if the people want it in terms of the fans and they need to do it for the right situation, then that is very possible.
I mean, I agree with that. I also think, like, Brian definitely came here to wrestle, like, first and foremost. And I know he wanted to do, like, a stint in the G1. And that just tells everyone that, like, he's here to compete. However, he can't go to Japan, is what I'm saying. And look at the numbers drawn and look at the crowd. And, like, yeah, give him the freaking belt, bro.
Yeah. It's all, you know, it's all timing. Like we said, all we've seen him do now is come out and interrupt Kenny a couple times, and he's had a brilliant match this past week. It is still extremely early days, although at this point it kind of feels like he's been there for a while already. So we'll just have to see the next couple of weeks go from here. But absolutely fantastic. Even the placement on the card, just to get everything and everyone ready for the night.
People were complaining about that on
they done the right thing.
They did the right thing, right?
Yeah. They did the right thing. And I was shocked when the show started, and it was the first match on. I was like, whoa, like, I was shocked. But this is another thing I absolutely love about AEW. They didn't discredit that match in a sense. What they did is protect their titles and make their titles mean something. They put the AEW Women's World Championship in the main event. They're not, you know, the men's world title's not on the line. So the next belt in the company is the women's world title.
That's the
main event.
And that's the world title.
To me, it makes total sense. It's not what we were used to. Like I said, even myself, I was like, okay, they're doing it. Brilliant. But it makes the women's world title feel all important as well. Mm-hmm.
And you always want to start hot. You don't want to. Dude, like, people, like, I'm telling you, like, I've been to AEW shows. I've been to many live wrestling shows over the last few months. People there get tired. Even the people that I really love that came out during Dynamite, I was like, all right, they're here. Like, I'm tired of yelling, bro. You want that first when people are hot and ready. They did the same thing with Punk when they brought him out first, and that was the right call, and I stand by that. And, we could get right into number two, because you mentioned it, was Britt and Ruby main eventing the largest non-WWE show since, I think, 2001. Just absolutely insane. Holy shit, dude. Like, now, was this match like a Misawa Kobashi 5-star Meltzer match? No. But I think that it was really great to put that in the main event. I thought that they both did a good job, and I feel like this was like the right move to do to continue building the women's division.
100%. If there's anybody in that company that deserves a main event spot for their work in front of such a large, you know, record-breaking crowd, it is Britt Baker. She has absolutely been a star in this company. The minute they've turned her through the pandemic era, if you like, back
through her injury,
she has been an absolute star in this company, and she deserved it. But, and we all said, yeah, Britt Baker's going to retain, obviously. However, I was watching her face. I've got this thing of watching people's faces.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's a championship match, the champion, when they're coming out, to see, do they look pissed? Do they look like they have mm-hmm. to do the job today, like lose the title? And she looked pissed. Her face was like, I'm losing today. Like, I have to lie down and Ruby's going to pin me. So, and as the match progressed, Ruby was getting better and Ruby was getting stronger and getting off all her moves and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I sold myself a dream. Hands held high in the sky. I told myself, Ruby's going to win this.
Yeah.
And of course, we saw, you know, Hayter, we saw Reba ringside getting involved, doing what they had to do to ensure that their girl, Dr. Britt Baker, walked out as champion. And I thought, fair enough, you know, Ruby came close. Britt Baker done her thing. She had her girls, you know, to help her. She's a heel, so that's absolutely fine. I guess it still means that the casino battle royals and stuff don't have much of a meaning because we haven't kind of kick on since then. But it was a very good match, good showcase for Ruby. Britt was very good, like I said, deserved that spotlight, deserved that main event. Mm-hmm. And she continues her reign as women's world champion.
Yeah, man. For sure. I think it was interesting that you mentioned the face part because so there were some people were messaging me during the match. And like, did you see Britt come out? Like, she looks pissed. Like, oh, no. And I thought, like, for sure there was like a glimpse. There were glimpses of, I think that Ruby is going to win. I know we talked about, like, maybe they were going to swerve everyone, make the battle royals mean something and have Ruby win on this grand stage. So I can honestly say I didn't know who was going to win. And this face thing, you know, I didn't really ever think to do this. And I always like mention that you think of these like little intricacies that I don't think of, but I remember watching a Drew Parker match. He's a guy from the United Kingdom who wrestles in Japan, and he recently just lost his title over there, and he came out and he looked all pouty and pissed. And I was like, okay, I got to start looking at people's faces. And Britt definitely like sold that really well. Like, she came out and I was like, oh no, like, what's going to happen? And would I have been mad if Ruby won? No, but like, I also want to address, I think she still needs some work adjusting to the AEW style a little bit. I don't know if I'm the only one
that wrestling or of on the mic or
no on the mic she's good, but I felt like Britt was just a little bit smoother. Maybe am I crazy to think that?
I think Ruby definitely built into the match
for sure,
and that's what made me think as well as Britt's face. That's what made me think, oh, Ruby's, you know, she's gaining some momentum here, she might do this. She told a good story. I think you have to remember WWE style is very formulaic. You do this, you pan to the camera, you turn around, you do
it's like step like right, step left.
Literally, it's literally like instruction manual. Yeah. This is what you do when you're in the ring, guys. You're telling, you know, people that have wrestled for 10, 15 years what to do, and then all of a sudden she's cut. She can't wrestle at all for anyone for 90 days. And then you've put her in front of a crowd of 20,000 people. So I do assume there'll be a little bit of ring rust. Stuff like that. And maybe a bit of nervousness, you know.
Well, I'd be nervous too. Think about that.
Yeah. So
think about that environment, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Main event in New York, 20,000 people. And you haven't featured in wrestling full stop for 90 days before that. Even before that, when you're at WWE, you're probably sitting in catering for a lot of the time,
as Britt said.
Yeah, so I mean if you do perceive any rustiness from her, I think that kind of explains it. But
she's cool. She did well, and she cut some hella good promos in the weeks coming up to this, and you know, I think she's definitely a future women's champion.
I think there's a bit of a queue.
Yeah, we got TR.
I think Thunder Rosa will probably be the person to beat Britt Baker for it eventually. But I think she's up there. She's 100% a lot, you know, better and more ready than some of the women in the division already. So I don't think it'll be too long.
No. Well, how do you think, you know, we haven't asked this question in a little bit. This was one of our classic talking points, though. Do you think, What do you think about the state of the division? Is it improving? Is it stagnant? Is it going down?
So obviously, at the turn of the year, we weren't happy with it at all last year.
No. A year ago, no way.
Yeah, and at the beginning of this year, maybe the first three-ish months or so, we thought something's happening here. It's getting a lot better.
Something's changing.
And I still think there's a lot of improvement still to be had. However, I do think we have come a long way and they are getting it right. A lot has been helped by, like I say, the ascent of Britt Baker. She's literally put that division on her back.
Yeah.
And, you know, made it something to talk about, even if we are just talking about her. But it's the same with, I see this, you know, with WWE as well. It's telling stories away from the championship. You know, the men's division, they've got, you know, two or three titles, but they're still able to tell stories away from those titles, like just other little feuds going
on.
We've got, you know, Anna Jay and Conti,
Jade,
Penelope, and all of that stuff. It's not really interesting if we're completely honest.
The Jade stuff's interesting though.
Jade Cargill.
I like Jade.
No, yeah. I mean, there's little stuff here and there, but like, there's nothing of, and maybe it's because there's just no other kind of stars in that division. So obviously, we've got the champion. In the men's division, yeah, we have the people holding the titles, and then we still have stars in and around every
team, that's a great point,
and stuff like that. In the women's division, the star is holding the championship.
And that's usually the one match on the pay-per-view card that, like, it really means something. Maybe there's, like, a battle royal or something stupid.
Yeah,
I'm not. That was mean. I didn't.
No. But that's ultimately what it is. That, you know, where we have, you know, we have Kenny Omega holding championship. We still have a star in Bryan Danielson. We still have a star in CM Punk. We still have a star in Adam Cole. We still have a star
in
Jericho. We still have a star in Young Bucks. We still have a star in FTR. All of these people are stars, and they don't even have any titles. But in the women's division, the star has the title. So it's going to be hard to tell other stories elsewhere without that kind of star power.
What do you think? Okay, so that is such a great point, and I really thank you for bringing that up because I never realized that. That's true. What do you think now? Maybe they can't do it with the people that they have without a championship belt. And there have been reports that a new secondary women's title is coming in. Is that the right move? Right?
I'm a fan of belts. Yeah.
I'm a fan
of championships. Yeah, a lot of people don't like, oh, there's too many championships, blah, blah, blah. I think there needs to be another women's, you know, mid-card belt, if you like, because that's going to help at least build some homegrown stars or build some existing stars. Ruby Soho is a big name to come over from WWE. I'm not sure if she quite crosses into star category, you know, like the likes of CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole, when they came in. I'm not sure who a big star from the indies could be. Maybe Deonna Purrazzo, if she was ever to come over full-time.
Yeah, I would say Ruby's bigger than her, though, I think.
She definitely is. But I think it's just a thing where, yeah, I don't know. It's big characters.
There's someone, but we're just not going to speak of her.
Blanchard. I don't think, is she a big character?
Honestly, I don't think any more, but like the potential to be, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There needs to be some big characters in there, which they're giving time to, so they can ultimately, like when Britt Baker was not champion, she was still the biggest character in the division.
How about Ty?
They need to put her on the mic more. They need to give her some more stuff to do to make her that big character. They made Britt Baker into a massive character. And then, you know, she's ruling the roost in that division.
I think best bets would be Ty and Ann and Jay. Either one of them.
It can happen. I find them a bit quiet. I love both of them. I completely love both of them.
Yeah.
I just find them a bit quiet and stuff.
All right, like, how about Jade then?
Jade is the potential.
Okay,
Jade,
we'll go with her. Yeah.
They need to put the engine behind Jade.
Yeah, yeah. She needs to win this belt.
Jade needs to make as much noise as Britt Baker did when Britt Baker never had the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, for whatever reason, they're not letting her make enough noise.
She's making a lot of noise in every show with like a promo. Have you noticed that?
But too many of those promos are like backstage and pre-recorded.
Yeah, they are. But
remember
how
she made her debut? came out, she took the mic and she started running her mouth, and she needs to do more of that.
Okay, that's the kind
of stuff, you know, the MJF kind of, you know, promo.
Even though we might not like the backstage stuff, it's happening. And I think if we were to have to make we would have to make a prediction because of what's going on right now, I would put my money behind it's probably her, because she's the only one that they can have that they consistently have storylines with without a belt. You know what I mean?
Okay. I agree.
We've harped on it for a lot. I'm sorry, everybody.
It's definitely Jade. They just need to let her go a bit more. Like they let Britt Baker run. You see what I mean? They took Britt Baker off the leash and just said run. And Britt Baker done her thing. So they
and she has smart mark. She has help. You know, people are saying she's green on the mic, but she's got a manager. So I like
think
this
she
is...
can, I think Jade can do it. She's just on the leash right now. That's all. They're just protecting her a tad too much, I would say. Just let her run loose. Let
if
her
she go messes to up, the ring and cut up, somebody. Bro.
Yeah. I don't even think she's gonna mess up. I just think, you know, we're not asking her to have a match. We're asking her to just go out there and run her mouth, like,
and hit people.
Let her run. But like you said, we've talked about this for a bit. Let me take some of the comments around it, then we'll move on to number three. Black Neo says Jade Cargill is a massive character. Yes, that's what we were saying. Victor Punk says, and the talking part from Jade is coming from smart Mark Sterling.
Like you
said, so she's got that help there. And Arpit says, Jade needs to be like Miro and run through everyone with the belt. 6 months or so later,
she might win it
from Rosa. Yeah, I mean...
Well, we're talking about the secondary belt.
I agree. Like I said, everyone is saying in the comments, from what we said, it's all the correct stuff. Jade is that person. She is that bitch, like she's saying. But they just need to let her off the leash. They let Britt Baker off the leash, and Britt Baker went wild. So
they had her on the leash, and nobody liked her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They let her off the leash, and you saw what happened. So do the same with Jade, man. 100%. But let's move on to the third thing of the week.
Okay, this is kind of be my area of expertise. So I'm sorry, Mr. Rampage, everybody. I know you're going to handle that a little bit more than I am, but I know there's something that you didn't watch that was actually very, very good. AEW Dark on Tuesday. Elevation, I've consistently said, is not worth the watch. It's just really not. It's stupid, okay? I'm sorry. I don't like it. But the Tuesday show has been consistently good, and they've made a very interesting step recently, moving to Universal Studios in Orlando, the same soundstage that TNA Impact did during the Impact Zone days, which everybody really liked that stuff, okay? Dark is now a studio show, and it's going to emanate from there every week, and there's a live fan crowd base, whatever, that comes to the show. They're free tickets, and I just think this is a really awesome concept. And I've always said, stop with the squash matches. And this week, they really, really did. If you have a minute, everybody, go back, and I have two recommendations. These were some of the best wrestling matches of the month, bar none, and they were on Dark, and it's insane. They were not squash matches. They were insanely competitive, and that is Stallion Rogers and Anthony Green. They took on FTR this week. I rated it 4.25 stars out of 5. Like, this was so good. It went like almost 17 minutes of this near falls.
Sorry, this is a tag team, right?
This is a tag team match. Yeah, Stallion Rogers. And I know that they were in NXT, I think, a little bit, and they got let go. And they put on a clinic with FTR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was one of the greatest matches of the month, for sure. And it was on Dark. It was crazy. But seriously, such an awesome match. And I'm hoping that they continue to do more stuff like this on Dark, because this is what we want to see. We do not want to see Paul White squash Ricky Shane Page on Monday Elevation in a 1 minute match. Like, I don't want to see that, bro. I want to see the indie stars go at it with the established talent, and the indie stars going against the indie stars in great matchups. And we had another one, Daniel Garcia, the flavor of the last 2 months, as we have been saying, versus Allen Five Angels, with a good, really good storyline. Garcia beat Angels because Angels is having a feud kind of with the Dark Order. They're having a lot of issues right now, so nobody accompanied him to the ring, and 2.0 was out with Garcia helping him, so they were able to defeat Angels pretty easily. It was basically like 3-on-1. But insanely good match. And I also had this at a 4 stars. It was competitive. It was great. And it's a unique, cool crowd that came out to watch this. So I'm all for the Tuesday show. This was the best episode of Dark I've ever seen.
You're selling it to me. I can't lie. You're selling it to me.
Those two matches, the other ones are cool if you've been keeping up with Dark, but I don't want to bore you. I know you're busy. So, you know, those are my recommendations for everybody.
For me, it's just the time. I have acknowledged from a lot of people saying it, the same thing that you've been saying. Dark is getting better. They are beginning to tell stories on a week-to-week basis on Dark. It's literally just time to squeeze it in for me.
Mm-hmm. The Monday thing is still an issue, bro.
The Monday
still thing. An issue.
Oh, like, Elevation.
I don't get it. I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. I was all for it when it was announced, and I've given it a fair chance, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, they haven't made it feel like, especially whilst you have Dark already, what was the need for Dark Elevation?
It seems so obvious that they did it to get on a streaming service.
Yeah.
To pump more content out to sell to, like, say, to Hulu to say, look at how many hours of content we have. This is the deal you're getting. When, in reality, they have a potential to do something cool on a Monday, something different. I'm not working there. It's not my company. I'm not a creative writer. But I feel like they could sit down for a few hours and think of something better than what they're doing.
Yeah. It's... Maybe it is just meant to be what it is, and give the indie guys that are coming in just, you know, a platform to work,
a chance to try out, basically.
Yeah, basically that's maybe what they want to keep.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I watched the Garcia match because I watch every Garcia match, so that was very fun.
Yeah, he's money.
So he's endorsing that. Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the fourth highlight of the week.
All right, and we'll do. We'll do this one that we could both talk about, and then I'll let you take the last one. This doesn't have anything to do with Dark, Elevation, Dynamite, or Rampage, or being the Elite. This was something that got emailed to me on, I think, Tuesday morning, and it was just a great email to receive. It was from the press release from AEW. They have officially partnered with the Owen Hart Foundation, and they are going to be doing a lot of interesting stuff. So Owen Hart, as Jericho said, is all Elite, and that's just such a cool thing to hear. They're doing merchandise, action figures of Owen. They are working on putting him in the new console video games.
Yep.
They are officially, again, partnered with the foundation, which I think is run by Owen's wife and a myriad of other people. And then finally, they are putting on the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament, which is going to be an annual AEW tournament in the honor of Owen Hart. I love this so much, man. Like, just
love
for the fact
tournaments. Everyone loves the tournament.
And we love Owen. We wanted to see, you know, him get his, what he deserves, man. And that is respect and continuing to live his legacy and keep his name alive. And that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that the AEW is a savior for doing this. Like, I know WWE maybe would have done something very respectful and very good, but his wife, at the end of the day, she is the controller of his estate, and she didn't want to do that. So, you know, can you really, like, get on her about that? This is the avenue that she wants to go towards. So who cares if, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. What's your opinion on this whole thing?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of negative press on people saying, you know, AEW are just leeching off them. This, that,
that's not,
I mean,
true,
if,
man.
If anything, like you just said, this is down to his wife, and I'm not blaming his wife. It's just she, you know, AEW are a business, and they would have put out a business proposal to the family, and like you said as well, WWE have probably done something similar in the past.
She or wanted to.
WWE, yeah, she can't trust WWE. She doesn't want to go to WWE, and she's chosen AEW. The only thing that, you know, if I'm to kind of say, you know, something's weird about it or anything like that, obviously he had no affiliation at all to AEW. But this is just AEW doing their bit for pro wrestling. This isn't anything about where he wrestled before or anything like that. They're just,
and he wrestled in other places. He wrestled in New Japan, which is, but basically by proxy, you know, AW, one of their sister promotions. So
yeah.
He's not, he wasn't a Stanford creation. Okay. Yeah, he was Stu Hart's creation and Brett and over in Japan. It wasn't like someone that they made this character. He was there before. So stop with that. Number two, how many people have come over and how many people have went on the record saying that they went to AEW or supported AEW or trusted AEW for the Brody Lee situation? You can't honestly tell me that they did that for a monetary gain. Come on, man. That's a ridiculous sentiment. Ridiculous. I want to be excited about this. This was an awesome announcement. And if people don't want to like it, fine. Don't like it. But let's focus on the positives. We're getting some awesome stuff to honor Owen Hart. And this tournament seems freaking awesome, man. And we've been talking about how bad we want tournaments for months now.
Yeah. Now, as long as they don't do anything stupid, like put the tournament on YouTube, like they did with the women's tournaments.
No, then no.
We'll be absolutely fine.
How about this? How about this? How about stretch it out for a few weeks? Have
maybe definitely.
A match on one match on Dynamite, one match on Rampage. And have it like sort of like maybe a single elimination, maybe a round robin, maybe like a this would be AEW's like G1 or something like that. Very competitive.
It's going to be compared to that. I mean, if they even turn this into like some type of pay per view or something like that, where you know all the matches happen on the pay per view,
that'd be cool, man.
People are wrestling, you know, twice, three times a night.
That'd be simply gauntlet.
Yeah, something like that. It would be crazy. Victor says here the Owen Hart tournament winner should get a title shot for the AEW championship since Bret Hart was the one who presented the AEW championship belt. Yes,
sure.
It was first created. That's a really good idea, Victor.
Yeah.
Have they announced when they think this tournament's gonna fall? Like when
I haven't heard anything.
So I was actually saying to some guys today when I was recording that obviously it is rumored that in the new year Kevin Owens, aka Kevin Steen,
he's gone, bro. Yeah.
I know in terms of just watching loads of documentaries, even from his Ring of Honor days and all of that kind of stuff, how much Owen Hart means to Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen. He is Kevin Owens because of Owen Hart.
Yeah, yeah, that's
he
a good point.
He named his son Owen.
Yeah,
because of Owen Hart. Like.
This is a great point. This is why I have you here.
Give this guy the inaugural, and I know people will then complain, oh, it's a WWE guy.
I don't care about that anymore.
He's won this, blah, blah. Like, I can't think of right now a better candidate for an Owen Hart trophy than Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen.
No, no.
And when he comes over to AEW.
How much do you think this sold him when it was announced?
Oh,
he's probably like, I'm out of here. Here's my papers. And then I saw a Twitter post. It was like they're doing to Steen what they did to Ambrose in his last couple weeks. Like making him look like an idiot, right?
Maybe they'll do something like that. Or like they did to Ambrose. Maybe they'll announce it. Oh, Kevin Steen is leaving WWE. You know, when they tried to do it with Ambrose, they said, oh, whatever his name is, Jonathan Goodman is leaving WWE. Like they try to control the situation, like piss off.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, he is 100% gone.
Yeah, he's
and I think Zayn is soon to follow as well. And
definitely elite.
I want this. Yeah. Okay. So now that you said that, I definitely want Steen to win because that's freaking awesome. And number two, I want this to be like a massive, like 20 to 30 man tournament, like of the best guys, bro. Not just like a TNT title tournament like we had where it was like just eight people and they threw it together. Like I want about
like you said, maybe about 24 people, like that kind of amount of people. And then out of that 24, maybe we see about eight from outside the company come. So whether that's people from Impact, people from New Japan, you know, just some other high level names they can bring in to really draw eyes to this tournament to come in every year.
Put Brian in too.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. All of those names. Like, even if they want to make this like, because Owen Hart was a technician, they want to make this like a kind of like a technician.
Bring Saber in.
Yeah, like technicians kind of tournament. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah, like the Cruiserweight Classic, the original one. They did a great job with that. And I know we said some negative things about that company, but that was one of the highlights of the last decade, I think, of what a great a thing that they put together with that. So yeah, I'd like to remember the countries represented, and they introduced it. It was cool. They had a Bushi, they had Saber. That was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it is rumored that in the next, you know, month or two to 3 months, the visas for Japan are going to be opening back up again, and possibly the quarantine will be ending. So the realm of Japan might come back into the equation.
Yeah. Arpit says here, yes, technical wrestling tournament, please.
Yeah, Garcia. Yeah, we're all about this, man. So is he.
And Black Neo says Gresham in the tournament would be flames. Oh, I agree. Yes, Jonathan Gresham, yes. Get him straight in. Like, I'm sorry, with all due respect, the Ring of Honor platform, he's outgrown it.
Yeah, we need some. We need Lethal. We need Gresham. We need Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. We need some of those ROH pure guys over here. Yeah,
bring some of those guys in. And yeah, I mean, we're yet to learn more about, like we say, when it's going to be scheduled and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's great to hear. Great for the family. Great to honor his name and something else on the AEW calendar every year that we can
look forward to. And I realized that, man. That's such an important thing. As I started working and everything, and like dreading, you know, like getting up early and shit, like this, like good stuff to look forward to at night. So
it helps.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah. Yep.
Definitely helps during the working day. I'll give you that. Let's close off here with the final stuff of the week. You wanted to just kind of do a bit of a chat on Rampage.
Yeah. I will catch up with it and obviously post you know what, my thoughts later tonight, but I watched like some clips of this, and I know it was cool. I know the Bucks did something interesting with their new bio, but I'll let you take this. Adam Cole and the Young Bucks defeated Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Christian at AEW Rampage Grand Slam. And then we also had a Kingston Suzuki lights out match versus Moxley and Archer. I believe that Moxley and Archer defeated the Suzuki Goon group, and now. Yeah. As payback, they are moving to Japan next week at New Japan Strong at the ECW Arena for a Philadelphia street fight.
Yeah, good stuff on just a very good, solid show up and down the card. Obviously, what you mentioned before, I'll just mention some of the other things. The HFO took on Lucha Bros and Santana and Ortiz. That was a very fast-paced, entertaining match. Okay. Proud and Powerful, they have gone into another gear. They are now fighting like, okay, it's time we get our names out there properly now. It's time that we put our name in the hat to be contenders for the tag team championship.
Sorry, Arpit, I got that wrong.
In the last couple of weeks, we have definitely seen Proud and Powerful just
kind
of going to another gear. Like they're absolutely killing it. I don't know whether they were injured, carrying injuries before, but they just look like they have a new lease of life. So
they both got cut up, bro. They both are lean, and like you could tell they've been putting in work outside of the ring. And I know JR has been continually saying they look great, man. Bro, Homicide came out.
Yep.
I saw. Okay, I've always liked Homicide, but I was like, he's kind of past his prime. I saw with the reception he got at Arthur Ashe, which was sick, and I saw him face Suzuki on Friday, and that guy is good as hell. Like, man, he can still go. He's great. Like, that was a great, great suggestion to everyone out there. Suzuki versus Homicide, good match.
Literally, some really good stuff. But of course, the opener on this show saw CM Punk having his first TV match in over 7 years. He faced Powerhouse Hobbs, and again, just excellence throughout. CM Punk, you know what he's come here to do. He's come to make and teach, but make these younger guys, you know, top level stars. We're gonna be listening very soon to a whole generation of people in the next, you know, 5 years or so, saying, you know, CM Punk taught me this. If it wasn't for Punk, this wouldn't happen, blah blah blah. A lot of these AEW guys and girls, once they kind of get, you know, reach that kind of prime of their careers, a lot of them are going to have a lot of good stuff to say about the likes of the Punks, of Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson,
Kenny,
Sting, Kenny, these guys that they've brought in to just kind of shore up what they're doing, how they're learning. And this match was terrific. Will Hobbs just goes from strength to strength every time. I wished they did more in the way of protecting him. In the finish, I did think we might get something like Brian Cage coming out to help CM Punk, and then he puts down Will Hobbs, and then CM Punk beats Will Hobbs, because obviously there is a big size differential in these two guys. Even the way CM Punk picked him up, I'm sorry, I know I'm spoiling it for you a bit.
That's okay. It's my fault.
The way he picked, CM Punk picked up Will Hobbs to give him the GTS as if Will Hobbs was a cruiserweight.
I heard about that. Yeah.
CM Punk done it with ease. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was literally one swift movement, GTS, pin him. Like, he didn't sell like he was carrying some heavy guy at all, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I'm not really bothered. I was really surprised at how he just managed to do that with so much ease. But
and I heard Hobbs did like really well. I heard people were like level him up a couple of points.
Hobbs was fantastic. He done the big man thing of, you know, you having to overcome me, you know, very well. Like I said, he gets better every time we see him, whether it's the mic or whether it's the in-ring stuff. He just looks better and better.
He's one of the success stories from the AEW dark pool.
100%.
Coming in as like a total nobody jobber and really proving himself, getting a contract, having a heel turn, joining Team Taz, and then working CM Punk. Like, Punk chose to work with Hobbs. So,
truth be told, he's probably the only success story. We say one of, but
Angels,
I think Angels was kind of given a good, his first match was on Dynamite, wasn't it, before he joined the Dark Order. He was having singles matches on Dynamite.
I think he like, it was, yeah, it was either that or then he like continued on Dark or vice versa.
Yeah,
was,
I think he went the other way. He was having matches on Dynamite, and then once during he started the doing pandemic Dark, yeah, he kind of went backwards, sort of
I'm
thing.
I'm trying to think. I don't want to.
I think Will Hobbs is, you know, people have went on to be signed after, you know, Red Velvet is probably up there as well.
I can't think of like.
Red Velvet is probably up there as well, but Will Hobbs is definitely the success story of Dark so far. It's going to produce a lot more. There's going to be more names.
Garcia, I guess.
But, I feel like Garcia kind of jumped over Dark as well.
Yeah, Garcia. Is he signed yet?
Garcia looked at Dark and Elevation and was like,
"I'm not
that.
Doing
I'm
it."
Straight to Dynamite. Like, I'm not sure if he's actually signed yet.
2.0 is absolutely money. By the way, I'm fully I'm on Team 2.0. I want to see them get the tag belts really, eventually, they're freaking love those guys.
they're super entertaining. They know what they're here to do. Yeah, they're very good.
BTE champions.
I've liked them. BTE champions as well. I really do like them. And it's such a good story. You know, they've come in from NXT, from pretty much just kind of making their break in NXT to losing their jobs, coming straight into AEW, hitting the floor running in segments with Mox and Kingston and everything. So
Sting, Punk,
names, big names. So yeah, good for them. But guys, that is our show. That is the Elite Maniac podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's been a very hectic week. A lot of wrestling. We even got an extra hour of Rampage this week.
Yeah, that's killing me, bro. When am I going to...
When are you going to catch up?
I can fast forward through the picture-in-picture, though.
I mean, it's notable that one thing we didn't talk about on Rampage was the Men of the Year versus Jericho.
I didn't even know about that. But I heard it wasn't bad.
You can fast forward through that. Don't worry. In my opinion, it was just a cluster F. But yeah, let's wrap up here. Smash the like button, guys, if you haven't already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. And for our audio listeners, please make sure you subscribe. Follow us on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us with a 5-star review. Let the people know about the good work myself and Mike are doing here on the Elite Maniac podcast. Mike, any last words before we get out of here?
No.
Mike is like, I'm tired, I need to rest, I need to catch up on.
No, I want to watch. I really this is like the first time I've ever come into a show like not knowing something, and I feel I feel like I'm underperforming. I'm stressing out. I need to go watch it. But thank you everybody for who stayed on and talked to us.
I appreciate the live viewers, definitely. I mean, appreciate you guys listening on the podcast version. It's Rampage was just a lot of good matches, a lot of what I would call three out of five kind of matches. Just very good matches up and down the card. nothing really much in terms of story. We are getting Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole on Dynamite, so that should be a pretty fun match. That came out of Rampage. But yeah, guys, follow Mike on Instagram, Kings Road Wrestling. You can follow myself, Mex, on Instagram as well, WrestleManiac.uk. And we will see you same time next week. Peace out, guys.
Peace.